This morning, this is a word from God, especially for you. If you're not sure if God is there, this is for you. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. When Solomon says, remember now, he's just not simply saying that we are to think about God from time to time. You know, most people do that. Even the convinced atheist will think about God from time to time. And Solomon is not talking about just thinking about God at baptisms, weddings, and funerals. You know, most people think about God and bring God into their thoughts from time to time. But Solomon is saying here, there is much more than just, you know, thinking about God on the odd occasion. The way you'd think about him maybe sometime as said at a baptism. Solomon is saying to us much more than that when he tells us to remember our Creator. There's an incident in the Old Testament found in the book of Samuel that illustrates what Samuel is saying here. A woman called Hannah wanted a child. She was desperate for a baby. And she made it a matter of prayer. She went to God's house, and she prayed earnestly for God to help her. And it says that God remembered Hannah. Now, that doesn't mean that when Hannah came in to, the tabernacle to pray, that God didn't go, Hannah, I remember her. You know, it's been a year since she's been here. That doesn't mean, you know, that he had forgotten her, that he had misled her, and suddenly she appears in the house of the Lord, and he says, that's the one, that's Hannah. Now, when the Bible says that God remembered, it means that God committed himself to her cause, that the Lord acted decisively on her behalf, and that's exactly what happened. The Lord gave her a baby, Samuel. Now, you and I are to remember God in that way. Not just every now and then. You know, when God happens to crop up in our thoughts. Jesus put it like this in the New Testament. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your spirit. You are to be committed. Heart, soul, spirit, mind to the God who made you, to the God who created you. Solomon doesn't just tell us that, he gives us a number of reasons why we are to take this seriously. But first of all, he anticipates some of the excuses that people will make, and in chapter 11 he tackles some of those excuses. You know, people make various excuses for not wanting to remember God, not wanting to take God seriously. They're not always aware that they're making excuses, but there are lots of excuses that people make for not wanting to remember God. What are the kind of things that people say? Well, haven't you heard this before? I want all of my questions answered first. Before I commit myself to this Christianity, I want to have all my questions answered. And that sounds fair enough, doesn't it? But when you break it down, is that really the way you go through life? Is that the way you live your life? Is that really how life works? Look at what Solomon says in verse 5 of chapter 11. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Do you understand the mystery of life? Life is an impenetrable mystery. Do you understand how a child comes into its mother's womb? You know, I know that there are many, you know, gadgets and cameras today that can show the developing child in the mother's womb. It's fascinating. You've got these 3D images these days. But for all of that, do you understand, says Solomon, how that life comes about? You may be able to observe it, but do you understand it? Of course you don't. It's a mystery. You don't know all the answers. But it doesn't stop us procreating, does it? You know, a biology professor used to hold up a little seed to his biology class. And he said, I know exactly the composition of this little seed. I know the exact proportions of, you know, nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon, etc. And he says, I can make a seed that will look just like this. But if I plant my seed in the soil, it will come to nothing. Its elements will be simply absorbed into the soil. But if I take this seed that God made, because it contains the mysterious principle which we call the principle of life, it will germinate and it will grow. You see what Solomon is saying. You act even though you don't understand the mystery of life. You don't have all the answers. It doesn't stop you from acting. If you were to wait for all the answers, you wouldn't do anything. You know, if our parents were waiting on all the questions to be answered concerning the mystery of life, none of us would be here. Didn't stop them procreating. You say, okay, no point taken. You don't have all the answers. It's a pretty lame excuse that I want every question answered first before I, you know, commit myself to Jesus Christ and Christianity. Well, then you find another excuse that people come up with from time to time. And that is, well, the time's just not right. You're not alone when it comes to that excuse. Many take that excuse. Just not now. That was exactly the excuse that Felix made before the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was preaching about righteousness, judgment, about sin. And Felix trembled. Felix was a Roman official. And there was a vast crowd of people gathered, and it was interesting that only Felix trembled. Paul preached, and out of that vast crowd that was gathered, it was only Felix that trembled. But Felix only trembled. He said to Paul, I'll call for you in a more convenient season. Just not now. On another occasion. And that's what some of you are doing. Some of you are saying, well, you know, this Christianity, warming to it, I can see the arguments, but just not now. And just like Felix, he was convinced, but he wasn't converted. And he turns away saying, I'm going to consider this on another occasion, on a more convenient time. But you know, for Felix, that more convenient time didn't come. I'll hear you again, but not now. But you see what Solomon's saying in verse 4? We'll go back a verse. He says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. If you want to wait for the ideal conditions, you know something, friend, it will never happen. If you want to wait for things to be just right, it will never happen. Look at those words back in verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. It's a nautical illustration. Solomon had a navy, and according to the Book of Kings, every 3 years or so his ships would return from going all over the known world carrying goods. And what he's saying there is this: time and tide wait for no man. You know, if you consult the weatherman and wait for the ideal moment, you'll never conduct any business. You'll never have any return on your investment. Cast your bread on the waters if you want the return. Remember your Creator now. There is no such thing as a more convenient time. If you're waiting for a more convenient time, it will never come. You come here this morning and you've heard these things before, maybe brought up in a Christian home. You go to church every Sunday, and a lot of this isn't new to you. And there's times you've been sitting under the Word of God and you have been convicted. You've been challenged by what you have heard. And you pushed it to the back of your mind. And you said, I'll consider it tomorrow. But does tomorrow ever come? There's supposed to be a bar, a public house, where the landlord put up free beer tomorrow. And word went round the village, and the place was packed to the doors the next day. And they were expecting their free beer. And he pointed to the sign, free beer tomorrow. And the old boy bought their pints anyway, so he was happy. But you see the point. Tomorrow never comes. It was Augustine who said, God promises forgiveness for repentance, but he hasn't promised us tomorrow for our procrastination. And God has promised forgiveness. He's promised us forgiveness if we repent of our sins. But he hasn't promised us tomorrow if we keep putting that off. There's no time, friends, like the present. Do you get that? There is no time like the present. There's another excuse that people make, and it sounds a very good excuse. I want to do it properly. How many use that excuse? Yes, I understand the gospel. Yes, I know that I'm not a Christian. And it's a good sign when people admit that. We live in a society where a lot of people automatically assume that they're Christians just because they are supposedly born in a, inverted commas, Christian country. And so it's a good sign when people admit that they are not Christians. They know they are not Christians. But so often people then don't progress because they say, well, I want to get this little area of my life sorted out first. Or I want to get that little area of my life sorted out first. You know, I want to get to it right. And you see what Solomon says in verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. You see what he's saying? Look, at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do about it. You might like to think, I'll get this sorted out first or that sorted out first. That's out of your control. It's no use saying, if only this or if only that, then I would consider these things. Solomon is reminding us life doesn't work like that. You must come to Jesus as you are. We're singing about it, wasn't it, Monday? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come. And so you come. So Solomon here is clearing away just some of the excuses that people make for not remembering their Creator. And he goes on in the remaining verses of this chapter to look at a positive reason for remembering your Creator, especially when you're young. In the New Testament, Jesus said, while it is day, work while it is day, for the night comes when no one can work. And Solomon is saying something like that in verses 7 through to 8. Truly, the light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. You know, when you're young, people say that it's time to enjoy yourself. Make the best of it while you're young. And Solomon says, yes, I'll go along with that. He doesn't necessarily knock it. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you. You know, it's one of the saddest things in our society to see children and young people old before their time. Old before their time. Even some of them before they enter their teens. That's the saddest, you know, feature of modern society. Children aren't given the opportunity to be children, to enjoy themselves when they are young. They're made into little adults, you know, while they're still children. Rejoice, young man, in your youth. Yes, when you're young. He's not knocking enjoying yourself, but he says, I follow this wise man's advice. But he says, balance that. Remember, he gives a warning. Remember, God will hold you to account for what you do with your life. You know, Christians are never saying you can't enjoy yourself. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ, you begin to live. But what the Christian says and what Solomon says is that you live out your life in reference to God. You might live many years and rejoice in them all. Heard a woman on the radio phone in, and she was saying that she went to university. I can't remember the context of the phone in. I think it was consequences of you know, how you live when you're younger or when you go to university. But anyway, she rang in, and she said, "You know, I went to university. Now I'm in my 30s." She says, "When I went to university as a young girl, I lived it up. I partied." Every moment under the sun, had any amount of sexual partners, had a great time, rip-roaring time, loved every moment of it, and I don't regret any of it. You know, had a tremendous time. And she says, now I'm married, I'm in my 30s, settled down, got a couple of kids, and life couldn't be better. And you see, you think, well, is there any justice? You know? She may live her life many years. She may rejoice in them all. But you know what this book tells us? Remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. She's going to pass out of this world. She's going to stand before her Creator God, and He's going to ask her for an account for how she lived the life that He gave her. Did you live it with reference to God? Did you bring God into the equation? When she went to her discos and her dances, when she had her multiple partners, did she ever step back and say, what does God think about this? You see, a Christian will bring God into the equation with respect to how they live their life. And you young people, you know, your whole life is stretched out before you. You're probably fed up with people like me asking you, what are you going to do when you grow up? You know, what are you going to do at school? What's your choice is going to be for your GCSEs, A-levels or whatever? What university are you going to go to? You know, you have so many, many decisions to make at such a young age. And just making those decisions is mapping out your future for for the years to come. And all the time you're beginning to think, you know, where your life is taking you. What are you going to do with your life? Are you ever bringing God into the equation with respect to the decisions you make? What would God have me do? How would God react if I choose this? You're bringing in the principles of the Word of God. Is this going to affect me spiritually if I do that? Is it going to make me a better Christian if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to ask you, particularly if you're thinking about these things, what place does God have in your plans for the future? Does God feature at all? Does God come into the picture when you're thinking about your life that is stretching out before you? Do you remember your Creator? Because your life is not your own. And God is going to hold you to an account for it. And if you lived all your days to please yourself, then God will want to know on the day of judgment why. If you live your life in a selfish way, and most people do that, you know, that's sin. To consume your life, to live your life selfishly. And if you follow the course of a selfish life, and you leave God out of your life, living to please yourself, only bringing God into it perhaps on a Sundays or when you're in trouble, but really God doesn't feature in your life at all. If you live your life so selfishly, leaving God out of it, the day of judgment will come. Do you realize that? The day of judgment will come, says Solomon, and God will want to know why you lived your life the way you lived it. You know, every Christian in this little chapel this morning, every one of us have got one regret. And that is that we didn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ sooner. That's what we regret. We regret that we'd left it so late. And some of us, some came to Christ when they were children. Some of us came to Christ later. Yeah, I was only 22 when I came to Christ. Just a young man. But you know, I wish I had come sooner. Because life without God is a complete waste of time. We live in a throwaway society. Everything is disposable. Disposable razors, nappies, pens. We live in a throwaway society. But listen, young people. Watch, be careful that you don't throw away your life. Okay? Watch that you don't throw away your life. To live life without God is just to throw it away. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Young man, young woman, when's the time to bring God into your life, Jesus Christ into your life? Remember your Creator now, in the days of your life, in the days of your youth, when you can be useful. You know, there's nothing more exciting than to live a life of usefulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most exciting thing on earth. To know the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that your life counts, not only for now, but also in eternity. There is nothing more exciting than that. Remember your Creator now. In your teens. You know, some of the greatest servants of God that the church has ever known were people that became Christians when they were children. Wesley and Whitfield, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon in his 20s, preaching to thousands. You know, what a difference it would have made if Paul had have come to Christ at 65 instead of maybe in his mid to late 20s. You know, God used him as a young man. Richard Baxter came to Christ, great Puritan preacher, when he was 6. Jonathan Edwards, used mightily of God in America, came to Christ when he was 8. God Almighty used these men who remembered their Creator when they were young. God gave them opportunities to serve him. Remember your Creator now. Your life belongs to him. Live it for him. And there's another reason, another factor enters in. And the reason he says, remember your Creator now, it's because of the sin that's in your life. Look at what he said, look what he says at the end of verses 11 and into chapter 11, verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Then in chapter 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator now before those difficult days come, before those evil days come. You know, friends, the great thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in simple repentance and faith, turning away from your sin, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. It's amazing. You're forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. God will never hold that sin against you again. Why? Because it's already been paid for. Jesus Christ paid the debt on the cross. He paid the debt and he set me free, and he will not hold it against you. Even though your sins may be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Even though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, God who cannot lie, has promised it. No matter how deeply ingrained it is in your life, how glaringly obvious it might be to some people that you're living your life unrighteously, God says, if you come in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, you will be forgiven and sin will be put away. That's the great message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Exonerated, forgiven, no charge to answer. A full and free pardon for all your sin if you come to Christ, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Remember your Creator now, before sin spoils it for you. Before your life is ruined by sin, remember your Creator now. There is forgiveness. There's always forgiveness. As long as you're alive, there will be forgiveness. But before sin disfigures your life, before the evil days come, before there are regrets, deep, bitter regrets, remember your Creator now. Solomon wants to spur you, all of the pain and all of the heartache and all of the grief that he experienced in his life. We're talking about a man who's been places where you will never be. You experience things that you will never experience. A man who tasted life and experimented with life in a way that you will never. And he says, that life lived without God is not worth it. Remember your Creator now. Young person, will you not do that? Will you not remember your Creator, that he gave you his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins? Remember your Creator before that sin stamps your life and leaves a mark on you, before you're scarred and disfigured by it. He wraps this book by saying, the words of the wise are like goads. Perhaps during the course of this week, something has been said that's been like a goad, you know, that big long stick that the farmer uses to get the oxen moving. and that goad has been pricking at your conscience. Don't ignore it. Don't bury it. If God has been speaking to you, respond to it. That the God of the universe is speaking to you, don't ignore him. He says that there is one shepherd in verse 11. Not many shepherds. They might tell you in your RS classes in school that there are many roads to God. There is one shepherd, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. And further he says in verse 12, my son, be admonished by these. With making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. My friends, here is one book given to us by God. And it tells us how we find life in Jesus Christ. You know, take this book and read it. Become familiar with the grand subject of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Friends, while men's hearts are failing them for fear, you can rest secure in the knowledge that there is a God who can forgive you and will forgive you your sins. And on the day of judgment, you will not fear because all your sins have been washed away, they've been removed, they've been blotted out. Is life worth living? Is life worth living? Oh, yes, beloved. It is worth living in Christ. In him you can live and be satisfied. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of his precious word, to the glory of Christ. Amen.